Welcome, fellow Last Places, to another episode of LPF Debrief, where we talk about comic books, TV shows, and movies. And on this episode, we will be talking about episode 7 of Rings of Power, exclusive to Amazon Prime. I almost said Disney Plus. Who knows? There's so many names for all these platforms now, and you gotta watch. You have to have them all. It's basically like having cable again. So you got to have them all in order to watch them all. But whatever, we're getting good content, so why am I even complaining? But yeah, we're going to be talking about episode 7 of Rings of Power, which is almost at an end. Like, this is the last episode before the last episode, right? So the last episode is going to be airing next week. And it's kind of crazy that we've already had 8 weeks of this. It's going to be sad that this show is now ending because it's been great. I've been enjoying it. But as always, guys, there will be spoilers ahead. If you guys don't want to hear any of those, go ahead and pause it. Come on back and I'll tell you my opinions on it. And then if you guys could like, subscribe, do all that good stuff, comment, rate on the podcast stuff. Like I said, it really helps our visibility. And that's just me being transparent with you guys. Cause that's it. Cause I'm always that way. But anyway, let's get right into it. Let's start talking about this episode. And you know how I like to do this, basically going into the different stories and elements and stuff like that. We start off this episode after the fallout of the Battle of the Southlands, which we see that scene is shot beautifully. And again, I will talk about it every week. Next week will be the last week I get to say it, but the vision, the way that everything looks, the feel of this show, just like quality wise, like camera angles, shots and all that. I don't think there's been a TV show like this as far as getting any of these shots and things like that, because that scene, just the color alone, was fantastic. Like the way that everyone looked, the way that everyone was covered in ash, like just because, like, obviously a volcano went off, and this is what would happen if a volcano went off. And just the way Galadriel looked, and like everything about that opening scene was just like, wow. Like, you know what I mean? And you, again, we talk about their budget all the time, but like how many people get that high of a budget and actually use their budget the way that they do, right? And it's just something that cinematography wise, that Lord of the Rings, just they know that magic. And they, even early in their in the movies, you could see that kind of stuff too. But like now that they have that tech, and now that they know exactly what people are looking for, and just the way to use their camera angles and stuff like that, man, they really make some great scenes. And this scene was no exception, right? So we see Galadriel basically trying to see who's still alive after all of this stuff that happened, because the village is wrecked, right? So she wants to make sure everyone's alive, because no matter what, even if it wasn't her fault, she's going to feel responsible, right? Because she's the reason why everyone's there. She's the reason why she felt like people could have taken that away, like, you know, or prevented what happened. So she's going to carry that burden with her the whole time. And especially now when you're looking for everyone, cause you got to look for the queen, you're looking for Hallbrand, you're looking for, you know, Orendir, like you're looking for all the people that you, that rode out with you, who said that I'm here for the fight and I'm down to do this. Right. So, you're looking for these people and she's trying to find them. She ends up finding Theo, and basically, you know, everything is going on everywhere because you can't see anything because there's such a big cloud of smoke and fog and everything. So you can't see anything. And then all of that is happening. And it's just like, as this is all happening and you're just looking for people and trying to save people, we're seeing characters die off, right? Like we see, I forget his name, but we see once they try, the kid that gets brought into as lieutenant, basically he's under a house and his friend is there and he's dead. And then we see the emotion in that, and then we see the queen who's trying to save people and get people out of there and stuff like that. And we see the fire singe and we see the house end up falling on one of our characters, and it's like, yo, what is, like, this is just awful. Like all of it, this, like, it's all bad. Like everything that's happening right now is not what we wanted to happen for our heroes, right? So it's Isildur, is the one who gets, you know, he's trying to save people and it ends up getting collapsed on him. And then Miral, our queen, she's the one, Numenor's queen. She basically trying to save people. We hear like a singe. I thought her face got burned. We find out later what it is, but yeah, it was crazy. Just that whole fallout. And again, watching villains win is always an interesting concept, right? Because we don't, especially with the way that we know how, because we know, again, we know the ending, right? We know, we just don't know how we got there. We don't know those little stories in between, but we know what happens. We know what is the future. Because, and that's the thing about prequels, which usually I don't like, is that we know all of these outcomes. But when you can tell a story that still has a lot of in between, because there is a lot of things that in between that story that we would like to know. And when you can dramatize it, even if it's not in the books or anything like that, where you add certain elements and stuff like that to it, to really build that scene out, to let you know that this was a pivotal moment and this, they failed. Right. And that being a pivotal moment and just having the villains sit on it. And I think it was great to have them win that last episode and then see the consequences of this. Right. It really felt, you know, like it felt Endgame-ish, right? Where Infinity War, we watch Thanos win. And then here you watch this, you watch episode 6, you see the orcs win and you see everything happen. And then, you know, now we're dealing with this fallout of like your strong characters have to dealt with defeat. Like that's something that they're not used to dealing with. They're used to prevailing and all that stuff. So watching that and the scene, like I said, being in the color that it was, it makes you feel that defeat. And man, I can't get over how good that scene looked and just the way that it made you feel. And again, as the things are starting to happen and things just get worse throughout, it just really builds that scene and being like, man, we really lost this one. Like there was people are not coming out the same, like literally, like people are just not going to be the same after this fight. And again, that's something that is going to burden Galadriel because she knows what she did to get there. And she thought she had it. And she thought that everything was done and everything was solved, but it wasn't. So yeah, it was just a really interesting scene to start that off and how we went and into that story. Right. So all that being great and cool, I thought that, you know, basically we're now trying to find, Theo's trying to find his mom. Obviously he can't find her. Then, you know, Galadriel basically says we have to go. She pretty much knights him into making him a soldier. They're going to walk off to try to get to the settlement that pretty much everyone knew about anyway. So they try to walk off there. Again, we see that happen and then we cut to everyone else who's trying to. Then we see the queen again. We see, what's his name? Gosh, why am I forgetting his name? Off the top of my head, I don't have my notes pulled up, so that's my fault, guys. But I mean, I'm just going to keep this parts in here anyway, because yeah, there's just, but you know who I'm talking about. Basically, Irisal's dad is there and basically like looking for his son at this point, right? He doesn't know that the building collapsed on him. So he doesn't know that that building collapsed on him, right? And we also haven't seen Hallbrand. So he doesn't know. He's out there. He's waiting at the end, waiting to see if he is there. He ends up not seeing him. And like, imagine as a father, like knowing you didn't even want him there, right? And then now not wanting him there, not wanting to see him have to deal with this fight or any of that stuff. And then now you can't even find him when he was just with you, right? Because we don't know what that time frame was in between there, but we can assume that he was just with him. Like, you know what I mean? Before, you know, the lava and everything like that. So to know that his son is now like, you know, missing essentially. He sees the horse is there, but that doesn't mean like it was him, right? He calls out for him. He's not there. So there's a lot of, you know, emotions going into there, especially when you've also just found your queen. And making sure she's all right, right? So like there's a duty that he still has to uphold. And it's a lot, like it's a lot going on and just not knowing if your son is safe. But we, you know, we start that journey back into the settlement. And I thought they did a really cool scene because even I kind of like freaked out because if you guys know me, I'm a, I love horror movies. I love like, you know, gore and I can deal with all that stuff. But the thing I cannot deal with is eye damage. Like, I don't like when, you know, people get poked in the eye, things like that. Like for me, I still cringe and kind of like scream when those things happen. So like, I'm not the biggest fan of those, but, so we see a branch that they're ending up moving away from. And then the queen doesn't move away from the branch. And at first I was just like, yo, that's weird. Like, why didn't anyone tell her that, you know, there was a branch in front of her face? And then she goes on with the dialogue saying, you know, can you tell me when this smoke is cleared? And then everyone goes silent. And basically she's like, how long has it been cleared? Cause she's starting to realize that she's blind or is starting to get there. And if you remember, that was part of her father's, premonitions, but we didn't know how we were going to get there. And that's the thing again with premonitions and things, they never tell you how you're going to get there or what that actually means. You could have thought like all darkness meant, you know, they're going to win and you're going to look at all darkness, but you didn't necessarily know that that meant you were going to become blind. So she says that, you know, she can only see the smokes and stuff like that. So she's losing her sight because, you know, that burning building when her singed her eyes and stuff like that. And now, you know, you're dealing with like, now she's dealing with that initial shock, right? And obviously you don't want to look weak in front of your people, especially during a time like this where you just lost this battle and all that. So she basically says, hey, just keep moving along. Like, keep following my horse. Like, you know what I mean? We'll find a way to deal with this. And it's crazy. Like, it, again, all of it was just so well acted and just so well interpreted, just the way that they filmed all that and the way that it looked. And again, it's like that little tree thing. Like, at first I just thought it was a mistake or like, you know, why didn't she just dodge it? But it was part of the whole scene the whole time. Like, it was meant for her to see it and she didn't. And, yeah. And it was just, it was really good. It was crazy to see just basically how all that happened and how we got to these characters. And we get to the settlement and, we see, you know, the Numenoreans and the Southlanders, basically, you know, coming out and stuff like that. And then they're at the settlement and, basically, gosh, what's his name? Why am I forgetting it? Elendil basically is, you know, at the settlement and he is talking and obviously he's realizing that his son might not be there. And he actually tells them like he should have never picked up the elf. Right. And as he says that, of course, Galadriel is now walking in and we know elves have super hearing basically. So she hears that. She hears him say that and basically, you know, is hurt by it because again, she has to deal with that, right? She has to deal with all of that, that burden of saying that we were going to win this and that like now you're dealing with loss is something that she doesn't deal with commonly. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's all happening. And all that, you know, they went back to the settlement. We see the settlement is basically looking like, you know, the Southlanders. And then we're just basically going through the reunion. Theo sees his mother. They see Arendir. They see, you know, everyone like that. We then get to Galadriel. And then she's, you know, looking for Halbrand. Finds Halbrand is there. Finds out that he has a really bad cut. But he's, you know, a warrior. He's the king. He's like, he wants to continue fighting. She says he needs that, elven medicine. So they also leave him with like, you know, big cheers, things like that. Which was cool. And then basically we had that scene between Galadriel and the queen really having a connection saying like, you know, don't have pity on me. I'm not the one to have pity for, like, we're going to use that on our enemies. So we can exact revenge. She's saying that Numenor will be back to fight. So yeah. And then, yeah. Elendil is basically not happy about it because he lost his son in this situation, or at least that's what we think. So he has an animosity towards, Galadriel, which is not, you know, uncommon, because again, he feels like because this whole war went south that she can blame everyone else, right? So yeah, but before we even get into the ending of this, we're gonna talk about the Harfoots and where they are, because we haven't seen them in two episodes. So it was nice to finally see them again. We see Nori and everyone and the stranger basically going around, and it also showed us how they got affected by the volcano. So I thought that was really cool. Just basically, you know, while they're doing their migrations and stuff like that, we see a lot of burn marks and things, because initially they think, you know, they know the stories of the Southlands and how it could, you know, that volcano could blow over and come over their way. It does, blows up some of the fruits and stuff like that. They ask the stranger, hey, can you basically, like, you know, revive these? He almost hurts Nori and someone else. So he kind of, you know, they kind of tell him, hey, you got, like, you know, if you need some help, like, you can go, like, that's the way you want to go. And but before he leaves, we see that the trees start to flourish. So then the next morning, we see that all the trees and things flourish with apples and things like that. And then Poppy says, you know, of course, how do you think this happened? It was because of the stranger. And, you know, all of that happened. And then we see the three elves. Well, elves, I don't know what you want to call them, but I'm going to say elves. They could be humans. Who knows what they are, right? They show up and basically are like, you know, they've been tracking. And then Nori feels like she has to say something, because that's just Nori's character. And these, you know, they move really fast and they end up behind her. You know, obviously the Harfoots try to protect each other, and they try to have the fire that, you know, to burn them. And we know that the stranger was fine with the fire. So are these. So we're going to also just imagine that they're wizards of some sort, until you tell me they're not. They're wizards. Okay. That's what I'm going with, because they can control the elements. And yeah, so we see them burn down all of the work, not the work, but basically burn down all of the riches that the Harfoot, with the food and stuff like that, are getting. So now, you know, they're going to go not hungry, but it's like, you know, they're going to be in a state where they just feel like, damn, that's all messed up. Like, we're just trying to migrate, and like, now we're part of this bigger adventure. And that was, you know, just a cool way of again, mixing all these stories and making sure how they're all going to, you know, connect at some point, right? Because the Harfoots also had to deal with the volcano that erupted, right? Not just the people that were at the Southlands. So just showing that was really cool. And then the stranger, we'll see how that ties in, and how the trio ties in, and things like that. But before we even leave the Harfoots, we see that the that Nori is getting a change of heart, because she's like, at first she tells her mother, oh, you know, I should have, you know, I'm just a simple Harfoot. Like, this is not, I should have never done all the things that I did. But then we see at the end of the episode, she's like, I have to help my friend, because obviously she knows the good in him. She saw the good in him. She's also felt that from the beginning. So her to now be able to say that, and then everyone joining her to say, like, oh, you know, we need to go help him out, to warn him, because that's the least that we can do after he brought us all these apples. And then we see that Nori, Poppy, Nori's mother, and Saduk all decide that they're going to go and help, you know, go find him. So I thought that was a cool moment. Again, it was very Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, like, just basically seeing the, you know, the Harfoots starting this epic journey that, you know, obviously we know where this, like, you know, how those journeys start and how grand it becomes for them. So I thought that was a really nice taste of how they set all of that up. Obviously we're ready for it to you know, come to fruition. And then we had a major scenes with the Durin and Elrond, basically about the Mithril, you know, and how basically Durin was trying to convince his father about, hey, you should let us do this. The father saying, like, no, like, everything's written in the stones already. Like, we don't everything has an, like, you know, an extension period, like an extinction period or expiration date. And like, we shouldn't mess with this. Like, and obviously we know that Prince Durin is torn by this because it's like, bro, like, that's my friend. Like, you know what I mean? And he know how he feels about Elrond, and he feels more than that. Like, you know, that's like his brother. So to hear this news, and then he comes back to his wife, and Dessa is basically saying the same thing. Like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Your father is old. We have to find a way. And then he has to tell Elrond. Elrond says, you know, I'm like, farewell. This is not something that I want. But you can see Durin finishes the statement for him, right? He finishes saying the saying, like, because he cares. And then he also sees when the tree, the leaf, and the mithril react to each other, how it cured the tree. So that kind of motivated him to try to go ahead and open up these things so they can mine it. So they do it behind the king's back. And we have really nice conversation. Obviously, I've talked about this pretty much the whole season, but their relationship is just so good. And like, you can feel that bond between them. And it's nice to see, right? That bond, and just hearing that bond, and them talking like brothers, basically, you know? And yeah, so that happened. As that's happening, obviously, King Durin sees it once they've unlocked the mind and saw all the mithril that was there. And he basically doesn't want to hear anything that Prince Durin has to say. He kicks Elrond out, saying, like, you know, release the elf. We see that conversation get really intense between Prince and King, where he's just like, you know, you're failing us because you have these ideals, like this ideology of us just staying in the past and not trying to progress our people. And you're telling me that I have to, like, you know, tell my brother, essentially, because Durin was going to tell Elrond his like real name between family, which is something that the dwarves do, that they have another name that they only tell their family members. And he was prepared to do that because he feels like that's his brother. And for his father to tell him that you can't help him, you can't help him do these things, it you know, it's hurting Prince Durin. So he doesn't want to hear that. Like, he wants to be able to help his friend or his brother in this, what he feels is his brother, to save his people, right? And he'd feel like he's letting him down by not being able to convince his father to do this. So obviously he has a rage in that, and he tells him basically, like, you know, you're not doing any justice to us with that crown on. And King Durin doesn't like that, and he basically tells him to take off his prince necklace. And he tells him, just leave it there because it's not yours anymore. And that relationship is strained. Desi gives him a prep talk at the end there, saying, like, soon, like, at some point, all of this is going to be ours. It's going to be our kingdom soon. So, like, you know, he's going to have to just get over the fact that we want to help them. And I thought, like, again, it was very powerful, very strong. The acting was fantastic in this, and just the way that they were talking about each other and how they talked about each other, and just that relationship between the dwarves and the elves, it was just everything. And I thought they did a fantastic job with that. It was really well done, and I loved every second of those conversations. And I'm, again, we can't wait to see what's going to happen next, because we know what that state is, right? So it's a lot of this episode was dealing with the fallout of what happened in the previous episodes, right? So that's where we were in this episode. And I thought it was a great way to set up your season finale on what we're going to do next, or what's going to happen next, because we know everyone's goal. And yeah. And then we finally cut to the orcs who have won the battle, right? And we finally, Adar is there, and he's telling them, hey, take off your cloaks, take off your things. You guys don't need that anymore. Like, this is our land. This is ours. We've won. And basically they're saying, you know, King, like, you know, we run the Southlands. This is ours. And then he's like, let's give it a, you know, we don't want to use that name because it's not that anymore. And then obviously, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, you know, you knew damn well what that name was. And I'm so happy that they didn't even have Adar say it, because they know that, you know. And it was really cool because that scene just kind of backs out, and then you see it right there, and it says Shadowlands, and then it switches straight to Mordor. And yeah, it was a good moment to see that, right? To just see that the, I guess what the, what's the word I'm looking for? The start of Mordor, or how Mordor became Mordor, or the start, you know what I mean? Like, seeing that was really cool. And then just like I said, them putting that name out there, you kind of get the little chills. It's just like, damn, that is Mordor, right? Like, it was really cool just seeing that. And then to cut to our final scene, we see Galadriel and Halbrand getting ready to head to the High Elves to see if they can get some medicine and see what is going to happen. Because again, Galadriel wasn't even supposed to be in all of this. And now she's reporting that the Southlands has been taken over, essentially. You know what I mean? It's become this new entity. So they set us up really well for the season finale. Like I said, I can't believe we're already 8 episodes in. I mean, 7, and then next week is 8. So we're going to be done next week. Next week's episode is going to be an interesting one because I may be out of town, but I plan on recording, and I plan on maybe having a guest on that too. But the quality might be a little bit different, but it should be fine. So definitely excited to drop that for you guys. But that is going to be the end of this episode. Guys, thank you so much for all the support that you give us. Again, if you haven't already, go like, subscribe, follow us on all the platforms that we have. Rate us on the podcast, just because, like I said, it gives us visibility and we always want to be straightforward with you guys. So yeah, besides that, I think that is going to wrap it up for me. We have all of our other content on the air that I've done for the week. Go ahead and check all that stuff out. And yeah, until the next time, Fire Team